Medical Phone Service. For eligibility and enrollment, call New Jersey Shares at 1-888-337-3339. Because in an emergency, who can afford not to have a phone?
This is the multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, New World Radio, AM 1540 WNWR in Philadelphia. Also heard on the World Wide Web at www.wnwr.com.
Listen anywhere, anytime, on audio now. Call commercial free 712-432-6621.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the program participants and not necessarily those of New World Radio, Global Radio, WNWR, its staff, management, owners, or licensees. The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the program sponsor, advertisers, New World Radio, WNWR, its staff, management, owners, or licensees. No decision should ever be made when solely based on advice heard on the radio. Please consult with a professional in the field before taking any action on information presented in this broadcast.
It's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new 50,000-watt radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's the host of Between the Minutes, Peter Dottie.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Radotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. A lot of people are confused about computer security and the people in the field. This is not surprising since it doesn't make good TV, and it is a complicated and technical occupation with a lot of fuzziness. Generally, people who end up in computer security do so because it is an avocation, not a job. Today, I want to tell you a little bit about this occupation, especially the top guy. If you work for a corporation, that's the person you're most likely to associate with computer security. In addition, you just might like what you hear and want to consider computer security for a profession. What is the role of computer security professionals today? That is a rather complex question because computer security has many meanings to many people, and it's a holistic field. Of course, there are many types of computer security professionals. There are the people that specialize in things like software attack systems, also known as virus analysts, computer forensics, and security engineers. There are also people that are involved at the highest level of computer security within companies and federal agencies. People at this level are normally called something like Chief Security Officer, although a different title may be used. Typically, this is somebody with over 20 years of experience in the computer security field, since experience counts more than book learning for this job. In addition, many computer security professionals do not want this job. It is not just a hard job, but this is the person who is often called on the carpet when something goes wrong that no one could control. In addition, due to time constraints, they often do not get the pleasure to dig in and get their hands dirty. The reason anyone does this job is because they know they're making a difference, and they know that very few people could. While computer security professionals number in the many thousands, CSOs number in the hundreds. At this level, the CSO has blurred responsibilities since they're working at the big picture level. They get to see not just the things that most people think of as computer security, such as antivirus or firewalls, but everything that threatens the mission. For example, a CSO will be very concerned about things like system backups, disaster recovery plans, system preservation, and will even get involved in things that are corollary to the primary task since they can directly impact on the mission. Things of this nature can be as obscure as ensuring that the physical needs of employees who manage mission-critical systems are taken care of in advance during emergencies. Sometimes a CSO makes sure that the air conditioning systems that keep the computer systems operating are tied into the emergency power system. These are tasks that can fall between the cracks because they normally don't belong to any specific group, but at the same time, many competing groups have control. An example is the stated air conditioning systems for the computer room having access to emergency power. The building managers and electricians normally would not be aware of this need, but once identified, the responsibility is clearly theirs. If the building managers or electricians don't have the time or the budget to solve this problem, then it becomes one more problem for the CSO to balance. Other problems a CSO has is managing critical security software relationships. For example, the security team will make decisions with management and with the systems administration teams to decide which firewall systems and antivirus products are used. These are two of the most critical security products that are needed by any organization, but the CSO has the added responsibility of ensuring that a strong relationship exists between the organization and the manufacturers of these products. A strong relationship with these critical suppliers will guarantee that no matter what hits the fan, appropriate help will be on the way. As you can see, computer security is an all-encompassing field that involves many skills not normally associated with computer technology. If you have an interest in this field, then I encourage you to investigate it at your local college or university. The need for computer security professionals has nowhere to go but up. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia. Come on.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services, and Philadelphia needs you. We would like you to join the TownWatch group or start a TownWatch group in your community. To get in touch with me, you can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can go to our website, www.townwatch.net, or you can go to philadelphia.gov, the Philadelphia website, and put in TownWatch, and you will find us and fill out an information slip. Philadelphia needs you to impact on the quality of life and help us to make sure that Philadelphia is a safer city. 215-686-1459. Thank you.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes, heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes. This week's guest is Marnie Allman-Lockery, who is the Democratic candidate for Philadelphia Traffic Court Judge. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and welcome. Thank you for having me.
Marnie, I have a two-part question. Okay, first of all, are you an attorney?
No, I am not.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. Share with our listeners, you know, what makes you a good candidate for this job?
I think what makes me the best candidate for this job, actually, is the fact that I am very community-oriented. I am the president of my civic association. I am a member of my businessmen's association. I've been involved in politics as an elected committee person since I was 18. And I'm the mother of two. I've always been very active. And that gives me a little bit of a different view on how traffic court should be worked with the people that are coming in front of them.
And you're not a lawyer?
No, I am not.
So is that a benefit?
I believe so. As a lawyer in traffic court, you do not have to be a lawyer. I would probably have to follow exactly the letter of the law. Instead, I will be going to a magistrate district schooling where I will learn traffic court law, take a test and pass, and then I feel I can apply the spirit of the law to the person standing in front of me.
That sounds actually like it makes good sense.
I'm basically a common sense person, and that's how I'm running.
Well, as the mother of two, you kind of have to have good common sense. So I could see where that might be a good requirement for being a traffic judge.
My grandfather always said common sense is not quite so common.
Yeah, it's true. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM or on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Our guest this week is Marnie Almond-Loughry, who's one of 15 Democratic candidates running for a seat on the bench in traffic court. The show is live. You can call in and ask your questions in Pennsylvania, 610-667-9697. Again, in Pennsylvania, 610-667-9697. In New Jersey, 877-667-9697. 877-667-9697. So, Marnie, I see there's a total of 16 people running for judge, 15 Democrats, one Republican. You know, how many seats on the bench are actually need to be filled?
There's one seat on the bench that will be up for election.
Wait a minute, 16 people going for one seat?
Actually, we're down to 13.
All right, I mean,
did they get removed. The judge that's up is Judge Bernice DeAngelis. She has been sitting there for about, God, I was a kid. I'm not going to say now. But she hit her mandatory retirement age. So I decided to start working for this over a year ago to fill the position.
So why did it turn into musical chairs, 16 people going for one chair?
Well, three candidates that are running I've never met before or heard of before, but they don't like parking authority. And how parking authority...
Wait a minute. They don't like the parking authority, so they want to be a traffic judge?
They believe if they become a traffic court judge, they can dictate parking authority, how they write tickets, what the fines are, how they tow people's cars... Oh.
I thought it didn't work that way. As a judge, you're kind of required to follow the law.
Well, evidently they have not realized that over 30 years ago, parking authority was separated from traffic court. And they just, I guess, don't understand that and where they're coming from. So I don't know too many people that really do like parking authority, quite honestly.
That's true, but you can say who they are if you want. I don't need to put you on the hot seat.
Well,
There's only one seat, but
when they do talk at places, they do tell that, and they did put on their literature, so I guess it's okay. Carlene Clark, Lewis Harris, and John Adams are running under the impression that they can change parking authority.
As D's or R's?
They're all running as D's, but Lewis Harris is also running as a Republican.
Both?
Yes, you can do that. You can cross-file. But many of the people from South Philly and part of Southwest might remember Lewis Harris. He ran against Maria Donna Tucci to fulfill her husband's state rep seat.
Yeah.
As a Republican. So.
And where are you from?
I'm from Kensington, the 33rd Ward,
okay.
Lower Northeast Kensington, Juniana section.
So I'm sure all those people are going to support you.
I believe they are, yes.
Nothing like having home team support.
Correct. And I do have a lot of home team support, I am going to say. I have a lot of the people in the neighborhood and the small businesses that are out for me.
That sounds really good.
It does.
You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM, brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation for the best in antivirus software security. And to get 1 year of Windows antivirus protection for $24.95, go to www.cyber.com. Today we have as our guest Marie Almond-Loughry. With the election being just 14 days away, do you have a special game plan to give you the punch needed for that day?
Well, I think my game plan is just to go out, meet as many people as possible, go to as many community meetings. I do like to say that I have the support of Councilwoman Janie Blackwell and Councilwoman Blomdale Reynolds Brown, my own councilperson, Maria Quinones Sanchez. So I've been working with them, going to events with them, and just meeting as many and talking to as many neighborhood and community. Sunday, I did the Masonic Pyramid at Roosevelt Boulevard and Broad Street, and I was very well received there. And I'm very proud to say that my son is a third-degree Mason, so I'm hoping that helped a little bit. I have been in South Philly, North Philly, Northwest, West Philly, Southwest, Northeast not so much, but there is a candidate coming out of there, so they're kind of keeping me out as much as possible. So, but it don't stop me.
Well, you forgot to mention between the minutes, and, you know, this is 50,000 watts, so they're hearing you up there.
Oh, good. Good. I love that. I love that.
So who's this other person that you brought with you?
I brought my mother, Donna Allment, who is the Democratic ward leader of the 33rd Ward.
Donna, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Why should we vote for her?
Because she's a good kid. She's honest, and she's hardworking, and she really, really wants to help people keep their license.
That's good. I mean, you know, if you don't keep your license, how do you get to work?
Well, you have to keep your license to go to work, and the more people that we keep legal, the better our insurance policies are going to be.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, tell me something else about the judgeship that you're running for that I don't know about.
Okay. Part of my policy when I'm running is that with the small businesses and with the economy of today's, nobody can afford to lose a day's pay. And nobody can afford to lose their job because they've lost their driver's license.
Right.
I do have the support of the Riggers 405 and Labor's District Council 57, along with the Philadelphia Firefighters Local Union 222. And when I spoke to them and I talked to them, it's so important for them to keep their license, but it's important for them to make their day's wage. So what I would like to do when elected is talk to the administrative judge and start a night court that runs to 9 o'clock at night. They have one that runs to around 7 o'clock. But if you're working till 5:30, 6 o'clock, you cannot make that hearing.
Right.
So I would like to have it night court stay open to start a pilot program one night a week till 9 o'clock at night for the person that just does not afford to shut down their business or take a day's pay, the loss of a day's pay. And I would opt to sit that hearing. And the reason I started with this is the fact that when a lot of the judges were running about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, we were doing night courts. Judge Seamus McCaffrey has started night courts in districts with nuisance courts.
Right.
And we asked the judges if they were willing to sit for those hearings. And if they said no, then why do I need you there? Why should I support you if you're not going to come and support the community and what we need? And one of the things we need is for people to be able to come in front of a judge and tell them what happened and let the judge help them keep their driver's license. That's what it's all about, keeping as many people driving legally.
Well, it's actually not just that. I mean, what happens if you have somebody that's up there with a DUI for the fifth time?
You know what? DUIs, thankfully, will never come in front of me because they are a criminal offense, and that goes right to the CJC.
So this is just parking authority type stuff?
No, it's moving violations,
okay,
which are turning on a red light, not using your blinker, if there's an accident involved, speeding tickets, and a lot of other not going through the stop sign properly, all those.
What do you do about habitual offenders?
Habitual offenders, I believe, should be somewhat hammered. We do not need anybody putting the risk of the other people and the residents of the city of Philadelphia to risk. And a habitual offender does that. But maybe a habitual offender needs to really get their wrist slapped by maybe having to go to a court-appointed driving class or somehow go back to school. But
right,
if it's a working person that maybe needs their license to keep working, then let's put them on an old-fashioned type bread-and-butter license where you have an hour to get to work, do your job, and an hour to get home. But you lose all other driving privileges.
Well, that's actually kind of cool. I didn't know such a thing existed.
I can remember as a kid my father was a truck driver, and many of them had bread-and-butter license. But we need to even fit that to a person's schedule. Not everybody works a 9-to-5 shift.
Right.
And they do have a form of that license right now, but it works on a 9-to-5 shift. So we have to fit traffic court, the fines, and the punishment to the person standing in front of them. It's not just a you're standing there and everything goes general.
You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. Our guest is Marnie Almond-Lockery, and she's running for traffic court judge. What's the relationship between the judges and the parking authority?
Basically none.
None. Why?
Because parking authority is run by the state and has officers that mediate parking tickets. And parking tickets are that just that. There's nothing a moving violation about it. So the only way you would have any kind of dealing with parking authority is if your car was towed and towed to one of their lots. And then when you get there, you'd have been in front of a traffic court judge, had the decision made by that judge, whatever fines or had to be paid. And then when you got to parking authority, you'd have to show the paperwork of the release from traffic court along with your driver's license, insurance, and registration for the vehicle. That's the only dealing they have with parking authority.
Okay. Is there a reason for that separation?
That's the way the state did it. Basically, it's been like that for over 30 years. The last time I remember parking authority being under traffic court, and I was a kid, my grandfather worked at traffic court then, they were at Borden Spring Garden? No.
Borden Brown.
Borden Brown.
Yeah. Are parking authority people on the street, are they actually police, or what are they?
They are people that are given, their names are given in. Most of them are political appointed jobs through ward leaders. And they do take some classes and testing, and then they go on the street to write their
tickets. So they're regular people that get training to do this
job. To do a job. And their job is, if the meter says time's up, they write you a ticket. If you're parked in front of a fire plug, they write you a ticket. If you're parked in a loading zone, they write you, and that's their job. And unfortunately, as unhappy as I might be, I mean, I went out plenty of times and missed the meter by 2 minutes, and I have my ticket.
Well, that happens to everyone, including me.
Right. And that's just the way it goes. And you have a choice. You can either pay the fine or you can go try to go to a hearing.
What do you recommend? I mean, people are the same everywhere.
Correct.
And the parking authority people, they're going to have a few bad eggs. And you hear about these people because, well, it's the parking authority. Nobody particularly likes them to begin with.
Parking Wars is on TV. I've watched it.
I saw one episode of that show, and I thought it was canceled after that because I never saw it again. But you know, what do people do when they run into one of these bad eggs that's just abusive, where they think they're police or something?
My advice is everybody has a boss. Including if I win traffic court or when I win traffic court, I will have a boss. If you feel somebody has overstepped their bounds or not treating you properly, go to their boss. And if you don't like what happens from there, their boss has a boss. I'm always one to say people in some form of an authority, you really do think they should come to a little bit of a higher standard when they're working with the everyday person, because the everyday person does not have that badge on their shirt or that uniform, and they lose their temper. And you should not go down to that level when you have a badge. My sister's a police officer. She will tell you there have been names called to her beyond reproach, and she tries to keep her cool. And you can lose it after a while. But everybody does have a boss. Go to the boss. Hold that person responsible for their behavior.
Yeah.
I'm a true believer in that.
And, of course, if you get somebody that's extremely abusive, call policemen.
That's correct. You can always call the policeman, but just remember the parking authority attendant has the same right if you get overly abusive to them. They should not put their hands on you. They should be calling a police officer for assistance.
Well, yeah. I mean, for what you said, they're a citizen just like
anyone
else.
Just like everybody else.
Except that they have this job to do for which they've been trained.
That's correct. Just like a truck driver delivering.
And let's face it, most people in most jobs are good. They're good people because they're just people trying to earn a living like everyone else.
Trying to make their bills.
Every once in a while you run into somebody that's no good, or you run into somebody that had a bad day, or, you know, something happened.
You know, I always say, God help the person that was to run across my sister if she left the house when her and her husband had a fight beforehand. But that's just how it goes. And that's with every job. That's in every job. You know, if you work behind a cash register at McDonald's and you're so tired of people hollering, you know, fast food is fast food, and should be 30 seconds, and it's been 2 minutes I'm waiting, and you've already had six arguments because they're not doing what they're not cooking the food fast enough. You know, the next person that says, yeah, where's my food? They're going to get a bit of an attitude. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah. I mean, just life. That's
just
all.
Life.
You know. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 or on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Sitting on the other side of the mic today is Marnie Almond Lockery, Democratic candidate for traffic court judge. So, you know, you told us a few of your plans if you're elected to better traffic court. I love the idea about night court, especially since that was a great TV show. Tell me a few more.
People that receive a payment plan. Here's one of my son, whom I love dearly, went on a payment plan for a traffic ticket that he had. And anybody knows when they have a 21-year-old male, they know everything. And mom knows nothing. So I would say to him every month, you know, make sure you make your plan. Don't forget, did you pay your plan? Did you pay your plan? He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't worry about it, mom. Well, he knew he was going to be away for his July plan. So he thought he was going to be smart, and he paid two payments in June.
Mm-hmm.
Went on his vacation in July. When he went to make his August payment, they told him he can't make it because he broke his agreement. He said, but I made it. They said, no, you didn't. He said, I gave you two payments in June. And they said, yes, you did, and thank you very much. But that did not count for July.
Why?
Because he didn't make the payment in July. And that's the way it goes. You cannot pay in advance and expect that to cover your monthly payment.
Can you hand them a credit card or debit card or something and let them automatically deduct
no.
it?
No. No, you have no? to pay your payment when it's time. It's just the way to...
Do they want it in pennies or...
They'll take pennies. I mean, pennies is currency. But it's something that people don't realize when they're going there. And once you blow your payment, you're done. You have to start all the way over from scratch again.
I mean, you mentioned McDonald's. Even McDonald's takes credit cards, debit cards. I mean, they take everything.
They take everything, but...
But these guys don't.
Nah.
Do they take checks at least?
They do take... But you know what? They have Mac machines in traffic court. So I guess they figured you can go and tap Mac for anything you need. And most people's credit cards will give you an advance on...
But if you're on a payment plan, I would think the whole idea is you could just mail in your payment.
Well, you can mail in your payment, and therefore you can mail in a check or a money order.
Yeah.
I don't recommend anybody mailing cash in to anyone, no matter what payment it is. But as far as I know, they do not take the credit cards.
Wow. Well, maybe that's something you can fix.
Maybe that's something we can look into. And something... If for a reason, with today's economy, July 1st of last year, I was one of 76 employees that the mayor terminated, so I'm now on unemployment, and I pulled a pension plan that when you become unemployed, maybe you can't make that payment for that 1 month when you're waiting for that check. I believe the person should be able to come in, talk to the judge that put them on the payment plan, and say, Your Honor, this is my circumstances. I don't have a job. I'm waiting for this. Can I just have 1 month forgiven, put on the back of the payment arrangement so that I'm not in default?
That makes sense.
A lot of things what I would like to do is basically common sense.
And as a judge, will you have the ability to do that, or do you have to, like, fight it through the system?
Well, I'm hoping that I'll have the authority to do that. If not, then I guess I'd have to fight it through the system and speak with there's a new administrative judge down at traffic court who is a very common sense oriented judge. So I believe if he has those powers to make some of the changes, I believe he will.
Okay. Let me ask you, I don't know if I asked this yet. I mean, one of the most hated jobs in this city is parking authority.
Correct.
The second most hated is probably traffic judge.
Court.
Why would anyone want to run for the second most hated job in the city?
Because I think it's someplace I can make a difference.
Good answer.
That's the only answer I have. That's I am somebody that has been raised, educated, however you want to put it, to give back as much as possible. When my children were in grade school and high school, I have been either the president or the vice president of every one of their home and school associations. When my son was playing football at Ascension from 5th grade to 8th grade, I became the football mom. When the cheerleading coach walked away, I became the cheerleading mom. When he went to North Catholic, I joined the crew association and became the head of that. It's just something I believe in giving back to as much as possible, and that's just what I want to do.
So basically you're willing to take on the second most hated job in the city because you want to give back.
I'm not becoming the mayor.
No, that's the third most hated job. I'm sorry.
I opted not to run for mayor and go for traffic court instead. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you're listening to Between the Minutes on 1540 AM and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, talking to you about CyberSoft. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Having 20 years of experience, CyberSoft protects many platforms, including Microsoft Windows. So for the best antivirus security, visit www.cyber.com. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. For the best in protection, remember, in any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4744. Or visit www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services.
And this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes.
And Philadelphia needs you.
Who, me?
Yes, you, Pete. We need you to get involved in your community to impact on the quality of life where you live by starting or joining a TownWatch group.
Really? How do I do that?
You reach out to me at 215-686-1459, or you reach me on the web, www.townwatch.net.
Wow, so I can really join.
You can really join. We provide training, assistance, and support, and we try to address crime in a holistic approach to improve the quality of life where you live.
Wow, that's great. Sign me up.
Join us and become a member of the Philadelphia TownWatch program.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333 or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Today we have Marnie Almond-Lockery, who's running for a traffic court judge, as our guest. So you were talking a little bit. Tell me about community service. You mentioned it a little bit.
Well, in my community, many people might remember under Mayor John Street, approximately 7 or 8 years ago, they were going to shut down Scanlon Ice Rink in our neighborhood. And Scanlon Ice Rink is one of the oldest ice rinks throughout the city. With the community group and North Catholic's ice hockey team and the advisory board and the people of the neighborhood, we did over 6,000 signatures on a petition to save our ice skating rink. I then had the privilege of arguing with Mayor John Street to keep our ice skating rink open. He said if I could find $1.5 million in the budget, we could have it. We found the money. Then he said I had to find $3 million because Tarkin had to be saved as well. We found the money in the budget by taking it from the two council people, which was Marion Tasco and Rick Mariano at that time, and the regular money that was appropriated in the budget for having the ice skating rinks repaired, and we got two new ice skating rinks in the city of Philadelphia. With that, I met a man by the name of Jim Britt from the Ed Snyder's Youth Flyer Foundation, and he said if I could keep Scanlon open, he would put in a youth hockey program. The following year, we had a youth hockey program. Now, when Mayor Nutter came in and they lost the money, and the Ed Snyder Foundation came in and took over all five ice skating rinks. One of the questions I had asked jokingly was, can I make Scanlon all year round ice skating? Jim Britt and I worked on it, and they were going to build a big facility in South Philadelphia. We brought Ed Snyder to a hockey game at Scanlon, and he's seen the reaction to the neighborhood people coming to the rink and cheering for their kids. He realized he couldn't take the programs out of the inner cities. So instead of doing one facility, he's turning three ice skating rinks into all-year-round ice skating facilities. That is one of my proudest moments.
I can see that. I mean, that's a real accomplishment. We have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Hey, Petey.
Uh-oh, it's Aunt Edna.
Yep, me again. I turn up like a bad penny.
Oh, there you go. Bad penny. More like a bad dime. You're silver.
Oh, Liberty Dime. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's more my age.
Oh, yep.
I've been listening to this young lady here, and all I can say is, from what I've heard so far, I think we better get the Pope out here.
Why the Pope?
We need another saint. This woman is a saint.
I don't think my mother would agree that I was a saint, but I was probably one of her better of the four children.
Well, I can tell that right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm all behind the skating rinks. I used to be a skater when I was younger, too, you know.
You know what? I still skate to this day, and this year I'll have my grandson on the ice skating rink.
Oh, that sounds really great. Well, if you ever find a big dip in one of the skating rinks, that's probably where I landed.
Aunt Edna, were you a hockey skater or a figure skater?
No, I was a figure skater.
Oh, okay.
You kidding? Hockey? I looked like I had a puck to the face. Don't answer that.
No, but I will tell you, my daughter is one of the first females to go on to their hockey team when they opened it up for at Scanlon. She was the first girl to sign up for it, and now they actually have an all-girls league that's out there through the Youth Foundation.
Wow.
Now you tell them to go cut up that rink and take on those boys.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Edna.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, so we're back. Just for the education of our listeners who don't get, you know, tickets very often, what's the procedure?
The procedure is
start with they're back at their car and it's oh my.
Oh my Lord, those flashing lights. The procedure is very simple. When the police officer says this is what you did, he's going to ask for your driver's license, your registration, your insurance card, and he's going to write you a ticket. After he writes you the ticket, he's going to ask you to sign for it.
Mm-hmm.
You can sign or don't sign. It's not an admission of guilt is what they're going to say. You have two choices. You can either pay the ticket, and if it has points, it has points. And you don't always know what has points or not, but 90% of the moving violations do have a point.
Right.
Or you can set up for a court hearing and come in and talk to the judge.
Mm-hmm.
I always recommend set up the court hearing and come in and talk to the judge. Explain the situation. Explain what happened. I've known people that have gotten a ticket for turning on the red light because it says, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., no turns.
Yeah.
My clock in my car might say 6:05. I turn. Maybe the clock in the police officer says 5:55. He writes you the ticket. You have to come in front of the judge because that's a moving violation. Should you get a ticket if that happens? Do you deserve to have the points on your driver's license? You're swearing it said 6:05. The officer swearing it says 5:55. I have to mediate.
Yeah, and people know that car clocks are not very accurate.
Not always accurate. Not only that, who says that, I hate to say this, the officer's watch was accurate?
I don't know.
Nobody can say it. So it's up to me to say, does that 5 minutes make that much of a difference?
Yeah, well, personally, if it was me, I would say 5 minutes, who cares?
5 minutes, give or take, isn't that big of a deal.
Are there any violations where you get so many points right away that you get thrown into school or you get thrown, you know, you lose your license on the first offense?
Speeding tickets.
Why speeding tickets?
It's a detriment to people's health. Speeding tickets are, if you're so many miles over the speed limit, they automatically pop your license.
Huh. How many miles?
That's
be a lot, I would assume.
I believe it's something around 15 to 20 miles over the speed limit. So you're looking anywhere from 75 to 85 miles an hour, which many cars do fly up and down 95 because it depends on where you're at as to what the speed limit is.
Right.
That can be, I believe it's on, like 4 points now can pop your license.
I don't know.
I'm
not a traffic judge. I don't know.
And neither am I yet. So I don't want to speak too much out of school. I haven't taken my magistrate classes yet. I decided not to take them. I was going to take them in February, but it was during petition time. So I thought it was more important to get the signatures.
Well, you know, I wouldn't worry about it. If you you get the nod, you got time.
I got time, yes. They'll be giving the classes yet again.
And, you know, you don't learn common sense, and that sounds like something you already are bringing to the table.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I have a question, okay, for the judge-to-be.
Go ahead, Al.
When you're in Center City, in Old City, okay, they have all the signs there where they have your parking, no parking, and parking not allowed, or parking, okay, for 3 hours. But you can't park past 10 o'clock. How come? If you do that, you get ticketed or towed. That's in the business district, pretty much.
That's in the business district, and that's parking authority.
Okay, well, shouldn't that be worked on? Because if you're there having dinner or you're there for the purpose of being, you know, being out for a night, why should you have to worry about leaving at 10 o'clock or moving your vehicle?
Well, that's a good question, considering the mayor really wants to bring as much business into the city as possible. But I'm going to say, with that being parking authority, you would have to ask a gentleman by the name of Vince Finnerty, who is in charge of parking authority, why they do that to people. Why, if you're in a business district and the business is open to, if it's a bar or a restaurant, they're open to 1, 2 a.m., why can I not park after 10 o'clock? And I really think the businesses in that area should get together and go down. And Mr. Finnery's office was moved to 3100 block of Market Street.
All right. Well, I won't say who, but businesses have done that, and unfortunately, nothing has changed. So I guess the city wants the money versus making the businesses make money. Anyway, that was my only question. Thank you.
That was Al, our engineer and producer. Okay, so you're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Our guest is Marnie Almond Lockery, who is the Democrat candidate for traffic judge. So. We talked about your ideas for traffic. We talked about the fact that it's a horrible job and you want to give back to the community. That's why you're running for it. What do you think is going to happen if you win? And is your family going to disown you? Or
no. Basically, the only person in my family that's been in front of traffic court was my son. And I don't think he's going to disown me because that was in, well, once in the city of Philadelphia, but once in Bucks County. And that was because he hit a guardrail, and he called the police on himself.
Wow.
And waited 2.5 hours for an officer to show up.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't think he'll disown me.
And with all that, they still made him pay a fine?
Oh, let's see. He slid on ice in the rain and went sideways into the guardrail because we all know that young men who have a driver's license know how to drive, and you don't actually slam on the brakes when you're sliding, but he did anyway. And he called the police because his aunt, who was an officer, said you never leave the scene of an accident without a police report. So he waited 2.5 hours for the officer to show up to be given tickets in the mail for excessive speed. He had a whole list. We wound up paying a lawyer, and I had to post $145 prepayment to the court up there to have the ticket set. I think I got $15 back when he was found not guilty because I had to pay for an officer to come to the scene of the accident, an ambulance to come to the scene of the accident that was never there, court fines, court costs. It cost me $300 to have my son found innocent, which I find totally offensive.
I mean, I could see where they could say pay to have the guardrail repaired, but the rest of it doesn't make any sense.
No, the guardrail was never an incident in any of it. The guardrail didn't get any damage. The side of his car had a couple bang-ups on it, but the guardrail, they withstood it.
That just, you know, stuff like that, all it does is teach people to leave the scene of an accident.
Yes, it does.
You wait an hour or two, and it's like, what am I waiting here for?
And I could have killed him because I'm like, why didn't you call me and let me know what was going on when you're in past your curfew?
Okay. All right. Well, we won't go there. That's,
no.
That's
a he's still alive because he's blessed me with my grandson. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's still around.
Okay. So you're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. You can also find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. So go there and friend us. Thank you. All right. So let's talk just a little bit more, and then we got to get to a station break.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have a website?
No, I do not. And that's because the person that was doing my website, it never quite got up and running, and I just said, by now, forget it. I do have a Facebook account.
What's your Facebook account?
Marnie Aument Lockery.
Spell it so for people.
M as in Mary, A-R, N as in Nancy, I-E, A-U-M-E-N-T, L-O-U-G-H-R-E-Y.
Okay.
I do have a Facebook account, yes.
So people can Facebook friend you and you'll friend them back.
Friend them back, yes.
Unless they have a name like Jack the Ripper or something.
You know what? If they're going to vote, that's a possibility. If they have a driver's license issue, that's a possibility.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. And again, you can friend us and her on Facebook. We're at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. More of Between the Minutes next on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333 or email sales at betweentheminutes.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Today, we have Marnie Aument Lockery, who's running for traffic court judge, as our guest. Marnie, other than the three people that you mentioned earlier that have nothing to do with traffic court, they just hate the parking authority, and somehow or they think running for judge is going to make it all better. I don't know.
Okay.
People generally don't just do this in a vacuum. I mean, you've mentioned some of your community service a little bit. Can you tell me some more about community service and who are you associated with out there that people might know?
Well, in my district, I have Councilwoman Maria Quinones-Sanchez, and with her help, we had another underutilized facility, which is Rambler's Rec, that we're now going to have a PAL center put into. So that's someplace for the kids and their parents can have their children there where they're safe in the neighborhood, getting homework help, computer lab, getting sports, and just basically being taken care of. We have a lot of working people in our neighborhood, so this is somewhere their kids can be safely up till 8:30 at night while their parents are working either swing shift jobs or extra work just to try and help make ends meet. I'm also very blessed to have Councilwoman Janie Blackwell support me out in her district. I've worked with her on different issues when she was working with the businessmen out there in her neighborhoods with the awnings. And just you can learn a lot from Councilwoman Blackwell's ethics when it comes to doing a job. She's up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and she might be in bed by 10, but by 7 the next morning, she's ready to go, and I really respect her for that. So I've worked with her on different issues out in her community.
Well, you certainly are mentioning some very, very well thought of and powerful people as associates, so that's a good thing.
And I'm going to say you can watch me. I'm going to be doing L-Stop shortly, and Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds Brown might be with me on some of them, or Councilwoman Blackmel might be with me on some of them. So just look for us in the early a.m. hours when you're going to work. We'll be at different L-Stops on different days.
Okay, no problem. Why an L-Stop and not a parking lot since you're running for traffic?
Because most people that are working downtown, it's a little bit cheaper to take that L in the morning and less congested for the parking authority issues that you have.
It's a much nicer ride, too.
It's an easier ride. So I figure I can hit a lot more people, diversify throughout the city.
Okay. How do people find you on the ballot?
My number is 157.
157?
157, which I was very blessed since Labor District Council 57 was one of the first unions to go with me. I thought that was a good omen to have that be my ballot number.
That does sound good. And, of course, having a local support is a good thing. Who's supporting you?
Local 157,
and
Riggers 405, and the Philadelphia Firefighters Union.
Well, you can't do any better.
No, and I think one of the reasons that they're willing to support me is when you talk to them, I told them how important it was for them to keep their driver's license for working, how important it is for them not to have to lose a day's pay, which is the reason I want to do the 9 o'clock night court, how important it is just to make sure that everybody has the ability to keep their license. It's a privilege. It's not an automatic, or it's a not a privilege. How should I put it? It's a
blessing.
A blessing, yes. Driver's license isn't something you're automatically guaranteed, so it's something that we have to work to maintain.
Okay. And you're right. I mean, to a certain extent, the city makes money from the fines and everything. But it's also a matter of protecting the citizens from reckless drivers, and it's a matter of keeping the streets clear. Otherwise, people are going to park in the middle of the traffic and just get out of their car.
Right, and actually, the state receives the money from their fines.
Do they?
Yep.
The city doesn't get anything?
No, the money goes to the state, and that is what is supposed to be used to fix the potholes in our street and major construction jobs. But it gets put into a general fund that anywhere in the state it can be used. Now, I think Philadelphia is probably losing some of it because our state reps just don't seem to be able to get enough money back into the city. We put the majority of the money into that fund.
Right.
We receive the least of it.
Okay. So now I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Why you? Why should I vote for you?
Well, I'm going to ask you to vote for me because I feel I am the person that is going to support the citizens of Philadelphia. Not the city of Philadelphia, but the citizens of Philadelphia.
Right.
As a person that sits on a businessmen's association, I know how important it is to have your business operational, open, and your people to work with you, and to have people be able to get to your store. Working with a community group, I know how important it is to keep our kids safe off the streets and protected. And that's what I want to do with traffic court. I want to make sure that the average person gets their fair day in court. I don't think you should have to have a lawyer to come into court and tell me what happened. You should be able to explain that to me as a person, and I should be able to understand it because I understand what it's like to have to pay your bills from paycheck to paycheck, or lose your job, or deal with your children, deal with a sick parent or a grandparent. These are the things that affect the everyday person, and these are the situations that we have to look at and take into consideration when a person's standing there in front of you. Yes, Your Honor, maybe I did do that, and I didn't realize it was such a major complication to traffic court violations. I'm willing to take responsibility for it. Can you help me? And my answer is going to be yes. Let's work it out to the benefit. At least 50% of the tickets written in Philadelphia can be adjudicated so there are no points put on a person's license. 50%. And that can be done without them having to put out the extra expense of a lawyer's fee. Now, I understand there's a lot of lawyers down the traffic court that might be upset with what I just said.
That's their problem.
But I think when it comes down to it, you have to be able to work with the person that's standing there and not just it's a one-size-fits-all program.
Yeah.
Everything has to be to the individual. And that's what I think my diversity and my background, living in a diversified community like Kensington, will give me. So I'm hoping that people will see that, understand that, and on May 17th, push number 157 and vote for me.
Okay. Well, you know, it's really impressive, everything you had to say, common sense, helping people keep their jobs, night court. Although, one of the things that impressed me the most is you got your mom's support, and your mom's right here at the station with you. That's rare that you have such a strong family bond. That's something I think we'll speak to the voters. Again, ballot 157. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. We'll be back next week with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The following program is brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
Thank you for listening to New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
I'm not just some tall drink of water, you know. I mean, I wash your dishes, I do the laundry, I help put out fires. I'm always there when you need me, 24/7, at home, at work, just about anywhere. And I'm not expensive, but I have great taste. Well, I guess I am a tall drink of water, but I'm tap water, and that makes me special. For more information about what only tap water delivers, visit drinktap.org.
With the Animal Research Minute, I'm Paul McKillops in Washington. Whoever said it's all in the genes might have been onto something. The Scottish Agricultural College says new research in genetic science is creating amazing opportunities for livestock breeders. DNA breeding versus conventional breeding could increase the UK's multi-million pound sheep industry by 400%, while improving resistance to worms, foot rot, and improving lamb survival. And in a finding that could help doctors fine-tune breast cancer treatments even further, scientists from the National Cancer Institute say that a new study confirms that women are born with genes that may in fact increase the likelihood that the cancer will spread throughout the body. Researchers first discovered a gene signature in mice that raised the risk of breast cancer metastasis in those lab mice by more than 20%.